Lord Jesus, you are the good shepherd for the fullness of life. Not only lead us into the fullness of life, but enable us to be more open to hearing you and following you. We pray in your name.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Jesus says, I am life. I am life. To know Jesus, to come to know Jesus more and more, is to come to know life. Jesus is not just, you know, a stained glass figure or in the black and white of our Bibles, but to know Jesus is to know life, that which is alive. Jesus says, I am resurrection. I am resurrection. To know Jesus is to know the risen life. The risen life of love and freedom. I am resurrection. I am life. The Lord says, I am the way. To come to know who Jesus is, to know the way of life. In all its fullness, he's the way. He says, I am truth. To come to know who Jesus is, to come to know the truth about our existence, the truth about our life, the truth about our purpose as human beings made in the image of God. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And today's gospel is about the good shepherd. Of course, in John's gospel, we have all these I am sayings of Jesus. Jesus Christ, my friends, is everything. It's a beautiful song sung by Townend, what's his name? Tim Hughes, Be My Everything. We'll have to sing that one next week. Can we sing that one next week? That's a hard one. Be My Everything. I'll do a solo. That's what we'll do. I'll treat you. But be my everything. Jesus Christ is everything. And to have life without knowing Jesus is to just skim the surface and wake up one day, maybe in the fullness of heaven, realizing you missed the boat. But to know Jesus is that to know him is to know everything. He is my everything. He is all in all. Life and love and relationship and compassion, and it is the very center of life. But he says today that I am the good shepherd, and that we have to learn to hear his voice, to listen to this voice of truth, this voice of love, this voice of life, this voice of resurrection. We have to learn to listen to that, and that takes a little bit of conditioning, a little bit of work, and especially in our society today where there's so many distractions and so many busyness and so many things drawing us away from even wanting to listen. We have to learn, and there's so many ways for us to learn to listen to the Good Shepherd. Of course, we have our Bibles are so important. You know? We got to, Christians, we got to kind of read our Bibles. You know, it's a difficult thing to come to handle with. You know, it's something we have to do. We have to learn to be quiet and to reflect upon the presence of God. We got to learn to pray and to serve and to love. And all these, we need to learn to worship. One of the beautiful things about our children, we need to learn from our children, is their freeness and spontaneity in worship. I mean, they're just so free up there, covering their heads with the shawl. They're so free. I wanted to do it myself. But they're so free. And they're free to worship God, and they're free to play, and we need to learn from that in our liturgy and our worship. It's such an important environment for us, our liturgy and our coming together to hear the word of God and to worship and to pray and to love each other and to celebrate, to be sent out. These things equip us. We have things like our Alpha course that's so important with equipping us to learn to listen to the Good Shepherd, to hear his voice. We have these basic tools that are there for everyone. And as we partake of them ourselves, we begin to hear more ourselves. We begin to hear the truth more. We begin to say, more. We begin to be more aware of God's loving and risen presence more and more. The more we open ourselves up to worship and liturgy, the more we open ourselves up to learning and discussing the way of life. All this is so very important for us as we come to know and experience resurrection and the freedom that we're called to live. But you know something? Even as we begin that process and continue that process, of Easter resurrection, of that new life that we're called to, and that we continue to open up to our whole life long, even as we do that, we need to come to realize that it's not just about us. Though it is, it begins with you, you're so important, that this open up that and come into relationship with God. Because in order for us to be able to enter more fully, we know that we've got to come through Christ. Jesus says, I am the gate, and we need to enter through him. But we just don't bring ourselves. That's the point I want to make this morning. Is that this is beautiful, this is Easter, we're saying hallelujah, we're seeing Christ is risen, we're saying that Jesus is the gate through which we enter more fully into life. But we don't enter the gate and it's over, in order we fully arrive. One of the things that we got to get better at, especially as an Anglican church in this archdeaconry, as we receive parishes represented from various parishes around our archdeaconry, in case you didn't know, I was the archdeaconry. Yes, I am, really, it's true. But as we go around the archdeaconry, not only are Anglican parishes unwelcoming, and we say that ourselves, as I meet with vestries and parish councils around, the crowd will say, no, we're not even welcome to each other, let alone a stranger. But so, welcome is part of it, but it's the inviting. We are, you know, we're so uninviting. We have so much to celebrate and to give God thanks for, but yet we're so uninviting in inviting people into life. Because everybody wants more life. Everybody wants more relationship. Everybody wants a deeper experience of what it's all about. And yet we need to be inviting. Because the more people that are invited to go through the gate, the more potential we have to make a difference for Christ, not just in our families and communities, but around the world. Guatemala, for an example. You people have responded to a call from the Good Shepherd to reach out to the needs of others. For us in our parish a number of years ago, we sent a team down, we built Emmaus House in Guatemala. We have a picture out over our coffee station. And we support through our children with the children's sponsorship program that we continue to uphold and encourage people with. If we want to see a transformation in the world and see freedom and equality for all people, whether it be Muslims in Afghanistan or Syria or Libya, wherever, we want freedom and equality for all people, we want opportunity for all people, then we need to invite people into a more full experience of life. We need to invite people to go through the gate so that as they open up to Jesus who is risen and alive, they too want to respond in loving service to the needs of others. If we want to be an agent of transformation in our world and our society, we have to invite. It's no good for us just to sit back in our little corner and say, thank you, God, that you're risen and alive, and I wish you well down in Guatemala, good luck with it. Or like they'll say in Afghanistan, leave them alone because they're never going to stop their fighting, let them kill each other. That's so untrue. The changing of hearts and minds takes generations, and there's always hope. But if we don't invite people into a bigger understanding of life, then there will be no change in our society. There will be no change in our world. So we need to get better at inviting. Because it's not just about our salvation, about our sense of love, but it's about equipping more and more people to bring the light of life to all humanity. So that we can do our part in serving and loving and doing what we can to enable freedom and equality and opportunity for all people. This is Easter and we're saying hallelujah. We need to, again, do our part. Inviting. That wasn't my homily, that part. Anglicans, we're so uninviting. And we need to get better at it. The only way that people are going to come... I got my little quote here for this one. Yes. We need to aim to reach the people who are not here in the liturgy, being transformed and changed by the good news of Easter in Christ. We need to be able to reach the people who are not here through the people who are here. In other words, you, all of you, we're talking about the gate of life in this Easter season. And it is our job, your job. As I'm looking around, I'm looking in your eyeballs and you're looking away from me. I can see, I'm looking at you. I'm looking at all of you. Look at me, Alfred Efford, looking away. I can see that. All of us, George. Even Montreal Canadian fans. It's our job to do the inviting. If we don't do the inviting, you know how difficult it is to come through those doors on a Sunday morning? You know what it's like in two? I can remember the first time I met Valerie's parents. I was thinking, geez, this is something I don't want to do. You know how difficult it is, hey, when your boyfriend, your girlfriend, you're going to meet their parents for the first time? You know, that's how difficult it is for people. So people are not going to come to hear the good news of life that they want on their own. We need to do the inviting, and we're not doing it. And the time is certainly long past when people wake up on a Sunday morning and they go to the church. That's long gone. In our parents' generation, or my parents' generation, because I'm a lot younger than some of you, that's gone. People are not waking up on Sunday morning saying, I'm going to go to the liturgy and gather with the church because I want to make a difference in the world and in Guatemala and different places like that and in my family. They're not saying that. So we got to invite them. We live in a more and more secular society, and the church is on the fringes and the margins of our society. And so we need to find ways to become more inviting. And not just, to liturgy on Sunday morning, but to all the different things that we offer as the people of God. You know, all our different support groups and life-enhancing ministries. And one of the things with that, it can be so discouraging. You know, because we invite someone to come along, they don't come. You know, or they think we're gone religious, or they think there's something wrong with us, or, you know. But the thing is, the parable of the sower is so important, where the sower, he just keeps throwing seeds. Does it all grow? No. But he keeps sowing. Keeps sowing. Keeps throwing out the seeds. And then some grows. But we have to get better. It's not just my job as the priest. Or as the archdeacon, not just my job. It's all our job to sow the seed, because we want people to know life. We want people to enter through the gate, through Christ, with Christ, and in Christ. It's our prayer at the end of the Eucharistic prayer, the prayer of communion with God and with all humanity. We want people to enter into life for the sake of their own hearts and minds, but for the sake of our global village, of our world. Because as a church, we are called to make a difference, and we need more people to help us in the shared ministry of life in Jesus' name. Jesus says, I've come to give them life, give it to them abundantly. So we want to invite others into this abundant life of love in Christ and make a difference in our world. Let's just bow our heads and pray. Jesus, you are life. And your life is our life. You live in us. You live in us, risen and alive. We are temples of your Spirit, and you abide in us. And we abide in you. We share in the divine life. And the gospel, your gospel of good news, is to awaken all of humanity in every generation that we share in the divine life. We share in God's life. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful truth and how we are forgiven and set free and made open to relationship, so that we can actually seek you out and to enter through you into a more abundant life. We pray, Lord, that as we come to know this life more and more, that we may have the courage to invite others to share with us in serving the needs of the world, that we may be a mission people being sent out into our families, into our communities, around the world, sharing love and life in your name. Hallelujah, Jesus, you are risen. We love you, and we pray in your name.